Hey, we're joined this morning by the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Narev Shaw, is joining us this morning. First off, Dr. Shaw, it's good to talk to you. Always love to get a chance to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, it's good that you can say you're doing well, because other people in Illinois don't. We are at the obligatory flu season interview, we'll call it. But, you know, I've been reading some things that kind of troubled me, and I want to get into those in just a couple of moments. But first, what are we being designated as? I saw a couple of maps, and I couldn't tell whether we were in the widespread category or, as the CDC called it, the high influenza-like illness activity category.
Well, there's always a lot of terms that get thrown around this time of the year with the labels that we put on these things. We at the Department of Public Health are labeling our flu activity right now as what we call regional, which means that across the state, in different regions, there are pockets of very high activity. The next step up for us is what we call widespread. Usually around this time of the year, we do flip from regional to widespread because this is the time of the year when flu activity tends to peak. Now, what I want to really emphasize, though, is that even though flu activity is starting to peak, it is not too late to go get your flu shot. In fact, I was just chatting with one of my coworkers here, and I was making sure that they had gotten the flu shot. They hadn't, and I told them to go out during their lunch break and get vaccinated today.
You know, have you seen the amount of pushback that's coming to flu being inoculated in healthcare fields and others that are saying, no, it doesn't do any good? I mean, you're seeing the pushback out there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a few things. There is some pushback to folks not wanting to get the flu vaccine. A lot of folks say, you know, I've never gotten it, and I've never had the flu, so why do I need it this year? One of the things that we like to remind everybody is that compared to other things that you can be vaccinated against, measles, for example, the flu is really widespread. There are thousands of cases of the flu every year in the United States. But even if the vaccine doesn't, say, prevent you from getting the flu, what we also know scientifically is that the flu vaccine can make the flu, if you get it, a lot less worse. It can also reduce the number of days that you might be out of commission if you get the flu. So it really is this great vaccine that, you know, even for most folks, it's a great protection against the flu. But even if it doesn't protect against the flu 100%, it still reduces the severity of the illness.
And I tell you, there's an intersection here at this, because when I'm looking at the CDC figures, I'm seeing H1N1. And H1N1 was the one that plagued us last year. And so I'm taking a wild stab at it here, that when the flu formula was concocted for this year's vaccinations, that H1N1 was included.
That's right. And as a result of that, one of the many reasons that we are seeing lower flu activity this year than we did last year was that there's thus far been a better match. As you noted, every year the flu vaccine is a little bit different, and the scientific community gets together and makes predictions about what flu viruses we think are going to be circulating. This year, the match, the prediction, seems to be a better one than when we saw last year. Last year's flu activity was really severe. But this year in Illinois, we are where we were in all of the prior years in terms of the number of people who are reporting flu-like illnesses.
All right, so the figure that bothered me really bad when I was reading up on a CDC site was 13 pediatric deaths so far this year, two, I believe, in just the last, we'll call it 4 days because I know there's a lag time on reporting. Pediatric deaths, 13 of them now, this point of the season, that makes my ears perk up, and not in a good way.
That's right. The flu is a risk. Influenza disease, when people get it, is very severe. And it strikes everybody, from the youngest of the young to the most elderly in our communities. The flu is definitely a risk. One of the things that we definitely do track is the number of pediatric intensive care hospitalizations, as well as pediatric deaths. Sadly, in Illinois, we've had one of those 13 deaths ourselves. That is all the more reason to make sure not only you, but everyone in your family and in your community gets vaccinated for the flu. I know that a lot of folks might think, well, we're already in January. Flu season has come and gone. That's not the case. We see flu activity here in Illinois up until the early spring, and you can get vaccinated at any time to start protecting you and your family against the flu.
Now, here's where my concern lies, the biggest concern, and it is where flu and acute flaccid myelitis meet. because when we've seen this, and the CDC's taken a lot of grief on this, on the way they reacted to this, that you have these flu-like symptoms and are left with paralysis in young people. And when you know we're seeing pediatric deaths, you're seeing widespread, and the fact that we really have a lot of questions that don't have a lot of answers about acute flaccid myelitis, but it leaves children. They call it polio-like with paralysis. And here at this time of the year, we're worried about flus. And if you're a parent and you see this news story, I'm pretty much, you know, the kid's not getting out of the house type scenario, you know? And not without a hazmat suit, anyway.
Sure. Well, we still want kids to go out and play. But I'm glad you raised this intersection between influenza and AFM, or acute flaccid myelitis, as you called it. Although there's still a lot of scientific study going on about what specifically causes and triggers AFM, there's a pretty high degree of certainty that it's not the flu virus. There are other viruses that are thought to be candidates for causing AFM, and the influenza virus is not really one of them. One of the reasons that we have a good amount of confidence in that is that the AFM virus, the one that's really thought to cause it, it goes by a different name, enterovirus. And that virus really starts to peter out by late summer, early fall. And indeed, here in Illinois, although we did see a fair number of cases of AFM in the late summer and the early fall, since the winter has started, we haven't seen any new cases of AFM come across.
Good. That's the best news I think I've heard all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that it's still not a good opportunity to practice good health and hygiene at home. The best way to keep your kids safe in general from anything, whether it's the flu or whether it's AFM or any of the other things that can cause the sniffles this time of the year, are just to follow good health habits. Make sure everyone in your family is washing their hands. Make sure that if folks aren't feeling well, they stay home and not go to school or work where they might get other people sick. And, of course, the best thing to do to prevent the flu is get that flu shot.
You know,
it is so easy to get your flu shot. You can get it at most drugstores. You can get it at local health departments. You can now get it through a lot of drive-thrus. You don't even have to get out of your car in a lot of places to get the flu shot. So it's really the best thing to do. I urge everyone, if you haven't gotten your flu shot today, make that a priority.
And do the flu shot and not the nasal spray. That's the more and more I'm hearing. Don't use the nasal spray. Take the shot.
You know, according to the CDC, this year both are viable, but I really think the shot is the better way to go.
All right, so when you look at this year and the flu and the influenza, there's some of the stuff that you and I repeat ad nauseum. I mean, we can admit that to ourselves. But the fact is, it does take people's lives. It leaves them sick for a very long period of time, can't go to work. But there's one in particular little niche area which I have seen start to pop up, and that is newborns. And everybody wants to come and see the newborn, and everybody wants to give the kiss to the newborn. And if you don't, you know, and I saw somebody literally who had just had a daughter posting on Facebook, if you've not had the flu shot, don't come to my house. This has been another area where we've seen growing interest on, you know, newborns with immune systems that are not fully engaged by any stretch of the imagination, and that obligatory, I've got to go see the baby in flu season.
I appreciate where those parents are coming from. I will share with everyone on a personal note that my father is elderly and pretty ill, and he, although he was able to get a flu shot, he has a pretty weak immune system, and there's a rule in his house, which is that if you haven't been vaccinated, you can't go see Dad. For that very same reason, because even if folks might not feel bad themselves, they may not have the sniffles, they may not feel sick, they might still be carriers of that virus. And to someone with a weak immune system, a newborn or an elderly person, even if they got the vaccine, it's still possible to get the flu if your immune system is not up to snuff. And so that is all the more reason to get the flu vaccine. It means that even if you were not at risk for getting the flu because you've got a healthy immune system and you're in great shape, you can actually, by getting the vaccine, reduce your risk of transmitting it to other people in your community who might not be as healthy, people in your church, people you work with, people you might live next to. all the more reason to get the flu shot. It sort of creates this force field, this barrier around your community that keeps the flu away.
And I think it's an important time, because when you talk about kids who've been on the road, maybe visiting in one of the areas where you're talking about localized influenza, they come back home and they provide a vector into the school program, because everybody's been gone, then everybody goes back in, and then the temperature drops. And we'll use an example. They're talking about Thursday, 35, after an overnight low of 23. We see colder temperatures. We stay in. We stay sealed up together. And that's where that it just kind of pops in our school system, because it only takes with everybody in a room together and one and the next thing you know, you've got 15 out of 35 kids sick. That vector is one of the things that we see every year. It's not because it's cold. It's because it's cold outside and we want to be inside, and we isolate ourselves with the virus potentially.
That's right. And then when it warms up just a little bit, we're all back together again. A similar phenomenon happens in workplaces as well. That's why, at least at the Department of Public Health, we really like to practice what we preach, which is to tell people, if you're not feeling well, the best thing to do is to stay home. Because when you come back to the workplace, especially after having been with others who might be sick, it's just that this is literally a textbook example of how diseases and outbreaks spread. Folks come out of the population, they get themselves sick, and then they rejoin the bigger group, and then all of a sudden you've got bigger transmission. The best thing to do is to help break that chain. Stay home if you're not feeling well. Keep your kids home if they're not feeling well. And then, I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again, get that flu shot.
Dr. Nerev Shaw, he is the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. Final thoughts on flu season or anything else that's on your desk that you think you should share with us today?
Well, the flu's a risk. And I'm glad we're talking about it, because a lot of folks have this notion that the flu is just the sniffles. Oh, I have the flu today. No, the flu is a really different and severe illness. I tell people, you'll know if you've got the flu, because you'll be knocked out and in bed. And a lot of folks even have to be in the hospital for it. Fortunately, we live in an era where science has provided us a tool to fight that, and that's the flu shot, and we should all be thankful for that.